powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bob and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All right, we all watched both of this weekend's games, and one was a little disappointing, but we still learned a lot. The other was really entertaining, and yet my heart was breaking a little bit afterwards. We'll tell you why and what caught my eye looking at the little things in this game that stand out to us. Bump, why don't you get us started?
What caught my eye? There was this play where Greenlaw looks like he is trying to break the ribs of someone on the other team. He's punching at the football, like three hooks, and the referee throws a flag. He gets a penalty. And I go, yeah, it probably is worth a penalty, but he's just trying to push the ball out. But it looked like my man boxed a couple times in his life, and he was throwing that hook. It was violent. But this is what defensive players do. The problem with that was it was after the whistle. One, after the whistle is cool. Two, after the whistle, you're pushing it. Three, you got to get the flag thrown on you. I just saw that play, and they showed it in slow motion. I'm sitting there with the guys, and we got a good laugh out of that. I'm like, look at Greenlaw, violent football player, a guy that Dave Wyman loves.
Oh, my God. Do you think that I was listening to Mina Kimes on a podcast. I don't know if it was with Bill Barnwell or if he was a guest on hers. Either way, she was saying that the linebacker San Francisco has might be the best counterpoint to their offense, and yet San Francisco has them. Mm-hmm. So, like, the best way to stop San Francisco would be their own linebackers especially. And sorry, guess what? They got Fred Warner.
They got some
they
dogs.
Got all their guys.
Greenlaw.
I know. Greenlaw's just unbelievable. It's just, again, the defense played well. Like, I can't stress that enough. The Eagles, I know that they didn't really need to be as lethal in the second half, but still only a touchdown and a field goal. The defense did its job. It's just they needed to do more than their job in order to advance.
The Eagles had three scoring drives around 30 yards because of turnovers,
yeah.
Because of fumbles and
yep.
All that stuff. They took advantage of that situation. But if you take away that, not to say that the Eagles aren't going to drive down the field and score, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But you take away those three scores off of turnovers, you're looking at a different type of game.
All right, I'm going to stick with this game then for my first one. Switch them up here. All right, what I noticed, Kyle Shanahan doing the best he could. Two examples here that caught my eye. The first is going to be on that reception by Smith that was a one-handed catch. Eagles move to the line quickly, get off another play, ends up being a touchdown. Congratulations to them. It was an amazing catch. I thought it was a catch when I watched the broadcast. My jaw hit the floor. I was immediately texting friends, did you just see that? That's unbelievable. It wasn't a catch upon replay. The problem is Kyle Shanahan is on the opposite sideline.
Right.
He doesn't see that. He can't see it. It's not up to Kyle Shanahan to challenge that per se. He probably saw what we all did, which was immediately on its face looking like a catch. It's up to the people in the booth, the other coaches he's got, the guys that are in charge of looking at that to get in his ear and tell him to challenge that. They didn't do it. I don't put that on him. Another thing I can't tell whether I should put on him or not, and right now I'm not, is the play calling as a result of being down to essentially your fifth quarterback, aka no quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that a lot of the plays looked creative. There was not a lot of like pre-snap motion, but a lot of misdirection on trick plays. It all looked really cool before the ball was passed downfield, in which case it went nowhere. Right on another instance, I want to say it was Deebo Samuel who ended up with it and was just tackled for a loss. I remember thinking, watching some of these plays, they're trying with misdirection, they're trying to be creative. There are always other ways in hindsight that we could have wondered whether Kyle Shanahan and the offense could have adjusted. I don't know how you win a game against a defense that had 70 sacks in the regular season and one of the interception leaders tied for first place in interceptions without a quarterback. I don't know how you win that game. I don't know what else Kyle Shanahan could have done. I was impressed with some of the trick plays, even though they didn't work out, and I do not blame him for not challenging the call or challenging that catch.
Typically, this is what you see, except in the NFL. When you are getting beat, or you are playing against a team that you know you are outmatched. We're talking high school, we're talking college. When I coached high school or when I was in high school, we would play teams that we just know they're just better than us. They got guys, flea flickers, reverse double passes. Like, you do everything against
yep.
that team because you're like, we have nothing to lose. I remember we played USC when they were ranked like top three in the country over there in Pullman. You know what we did?
Trick plays.
Stacy. We had our kicker. Now, I thought this was ridiculous. We had our kicker. fake like he was hurt before the game. So we put another kicker in and tried an onside kick. If that didn't send the message to our team that our coach was like, we ain't winning this thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you do. So now Shanahan's in that position. He knows he's out, man. I don't have a quarterback. So what do? I pull out all the tricks. We need one big play to kind of spark this thing. You saw a coach that was desperate and had his hands tied. There's nothing he could do. He's trying.
All right. What else you got?
All right. What kind of play? Big old Trent Williams, man, putting hands on a grown man.
Yeah,
number 42. And I have backstory with 42 as well. So Trent Williams body slams 42 down to the ground. Boom. 42 gets up like he wants to smoke. He sees 71. He goes, nah, that's a big man. I'm good. Both these guys get ejected. So they go back to the locker room. After Philly wins the game, 42 is back on the field with his chain on and his pads on. I go, so 42 is watching this go down. As soon as the clock says zero, I see him scrambling, putting on that chain. I'm going to stun on these fools real quick. I got kicked out the game, but I'm going to stun on them. So that's what caught my eye, man. Trent getting frustrated, going out like that. I think that's a bad look. You take the L on the chin, body slamming the dude. He gets ejected. 42 gets ejected as well because he was doing some unnecessary stuff. But then he comes out blinging, saying, look, I got kicked out. But I'm shining right now. We just won.
Now, I saw a lot of people saying Trent Williams was a punk for that. I don't know that I agree, but I think it's because I selfishly, like, I don't mind Trent Williams. I think he's insanely talented. He might be one of their best players. It's not talked about nearly enough for how good
he is.
He's
a lineman, you know?
Exactly. That's what it is. Get overlooked, and yet he's a huge part of that offense, too. I think it's an understandable moment of frustration and anger. You think someone's, you know, getting all over your guy. You rip him off. You throw him down. I don't know. I feel like we're all quick to sit and watch from afar and say, like, oh, man, that's classless. What are you doing? In the moment, you're watching your season end.
Right.
Not only that, but someone's in your face or in the face of one of your teammates. What are you going to do?
Hey, he's a protector. That's what linemen do. They're protectors. He protected.
I know. All right, let me get to what caught my ear. Obviously, what caught my eye in this one and caught the eye of everyone was Osai shoving Patrick Mahomes out of bounds. Yes, it's a fair flag. I don't care what anyone says. I don't think it was ticky-tacky. I think that would have been called in any game. And I know that there are some, especially defensive guys, that are going to be like, look, you can't play ball anymore. And I get it. Like, I completely get it. In most instances, I agree. But I think this was something that even Osai would be looking at and saying, oh, God, I wish I wouldn't have done that because I know that it's against the rules and I know I couldn't have. I still felt bad for him. I still felt awful for him. What caught my eye initially was the NFL knowing full well that they had a shot of him sobbing on the bench, making sure they show that with the side-by-side of the Chiefs celebrating. Oh, and also Joseph Osai taking comments at his locker afterwards.
What was it like having guys come off and then kind of...
I said it was great knowing that I had the support of my teammates. And I just got to, like Sam was saying, I got to learn from experience and... I got to know not to get close to that quarterback when he's close to that sideline. If it's anything that could possibly cause a penalty in a dire situation like that, I got to do better.
What did Zach tell you after the game?
He just told me to keep my head up, told me there were a bunch of different plays we had to make that it didn't come down to that one. And we just got to keep moving forward.
Never mind the fact that Joseph Osai also had a serious-looking knee injury on this one, for which he's having an MRI still in Cincinnati. I felt so bad for him, and I think that sometimes as fans, all we do is want to attack people. Look, you don't have to say, you need to know that's against the rules. He knows that. He plays football professionally. He knows this is against the rules. I've seen both Bengals fans defending him and standing up for him, and then I've seen like really nasty comments being left on his page. It's a game, okay? No one feels worse in this moment than Joseph Osai.
Nah, man. He didn't do it on purpose. Did he make a mistake? Yes. There are mistakes on every single play on the NFL field. Someone's making a mistake. No such thing as a perfect play. Even if things work out on in favor of the offense or the defense, somebody didn't do their job exactly the way they're supposed to do it. Now, this is a young man who just needs to learn. And this is how fast he was moving. He was running towards the sideline, tried to slow him stuff up and hyperextended his knee. He was all out. He's selling out for this play. Should he have touched the quarterback? No. Right? It was the right call. Unnecessary roughness. We get it. But the dude was trying to make a play. You can't blame him for that. And he is right. There were about 120 other plays out there that could have determined this game or helped determine the outcome of this game.
All right. What you got?
What caught my eye? Late in the game, 3rd and 8, Chris Jones comes up with a sack, but he does it from a different position. They lined him up on the edge on the tackle and said, look, this is how good you are. We're going to move you around. You've been doing damage from the one technique, the three on the inside. We're going to move you outside. You're going to take this tackle on, and he gets a sack. That just shows the versatility of Chris Jones. Man, he's one of the dudes where I'm just like, man, I want one of those.
Yeah.
Can I have one? Can I get a Frank Clark too? Can I get a Hassan Reddick? It just makes me so envious of what they're doing over there. The fact that you can move that big man all the way to the outside and play those type of mind games with the offensive line is a luxury, and I am jealous.
We played conference round, our weekly trivia game show on Friday, previewing this one. And one of the questions was, we know that the Eagles had the most sacks in the regular season at 70. Which of the three remaining teams was second place? And it was really tough. I mean, you, like I probably would have, guessed San Francisco. And it ended up being the Chiefs with 55.
Yep.
Now, Chris Jones is one of three men nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. It's probably going to go to Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons. The other nominee will probably get the second amount of votes, and Chris Jones will probably finish third. It is an honor for him to be represented, and in that sense, he is being respected, and he is getting the recognition that he deserves for this. But do you think there's something to be said for the Chiefs being considered by so many to be an offensive team that we overlook how good some of their defensive players are?
That's just how good that offense is. That's the Pat Mahomes effect.
You have a Defensive Player of the Year nominee and may also have MVP.
I bet you there's a lot of people who didn't even know Chris Jones had 15 and a half sacks from the inside, which is hard to do. That's on some Aaron Donald type stuff. This guy is dominant. But yes, it shows just how potent this offense is. Even with Pat Mahomes, even with him being hurt, Tyreek Hill being gone, this offense still captivates the whole league because it's special to watch. You see the big plays. You see the connection with Kelce. But this defense is nothing to be slept on, especially when they got a Coug in the secondary. Go Cougs, Watson. I see you, baby.
Very important to say. And also, second most sacks in the regular season with 55. Just absolutely unbelievable. It's going to be, you know, here we are talking about the NFC was a battle of the trenches and the AFC is going to be a battle of quarterbacks. It's still going to be a battle in the trenches and a battle of the quarterbacks for Super Bowl 57. Like, that's exactly what we're going to be seeing. Jalen Hurts is no joke. He is also a nominee for MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. Patrick Mahomes is nominated in both categories. You have a Defensive Player of the Year nominee on Kansas City side, and on Philadelphia's side, you have a defense that led the league in sacks during the regular season. This is an unbelievable matchup, an unbelievable game. I wish the NFC conference game would have been more competitive and would have been more enjoyable, and San Francisco could have had more of a fighter's chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love the outcome. I can't believe I waited an hour and a half to say this. Even though my bracket is not perfect anymore. And not only that, you know what? I'm glad we're bringing on Dave Wyman. Dave Wyman was in last place, okay, in our bracket challenge. I was absolutely perfect, picked the outcome of every single game leading up to this weekend's games when I picked San Francisco and Kansas City to advance. As we know, Hassan Reddick, jealous of me, took Brock Purdy out of the game to keep San Francisco from advancing. That's exactly what he did. So Wyman and I are tied, potentially. How? How is Wyman, who was in last place, tied with me, who wins at everything in this company? I'll tell you how. Because if Wyman, who picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, wins the Super Bowl, he gets 5 points, which ties us. And because he picked the winner, he would go from worst to first. This is an abomination, okay? I haven't emailed our GM yet, but I'm going to. Kathy will be getting an email from me complaining about this contest, unless I win.
You know what?
In which case, it's the best contest we've ever done. I'm so excited. It's been so fun.
You're sounding real salty right now.
Yeah, Space. That's fine.
Real salty.
This also stems from the gingerbread house decorating.
Oh, there's a lot of resentment and
anger.
That
was an abomination.
My problem is that I'm a quick starter with these contests, and I get out front, and then I think I'm running away with it, and all of a sudden I'm doing the Buda Baker looking behind my shoulder. Who's that? What is that? Oh, my God, DK Metcalf, what are you doing
here? The engineering department.
That's the engineering, DK, engineering department. Then here's Wyman coming up as DK, and I'm Buda Baker being tackled when I had a surefire, like, 98-yard pick six. And then I'm stuck with a 4-win Cardinals team. It's just...
Nothing in life is guaranteed, Stace.
Really,
if you've learned
not
anything...
Ugh.
I hope you take that from this. You know what? I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm low-key rooting for Dave.
We're a team. We win as a team. What do you
know?
Mean I gotta get humble?
I get humble sometimes.
No. Win as a team, Bob. If I win, we all win. That's how we should be seeing this.
So do I get the prize you get too?
Yeah. Okay. The 206, did you go see the video where Joey Bosa was getting trash talked by Eagles fans?
Yes.
Funny you say that, because that's coming up in NFL headlines at 12:45. Also, when we're going to talk about the cap space the Seahawks have right now. Right now, though, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, the Kraken head into the All-Star break back in first place of the Pacific Division. They had a 3-1 win over Columbus on Saturday. What's the real headline?
Just like we all saw coming. I'll tell you what. The Kraken season ended last year, and I thought, this team's going to be first place in the Pacific Division next year by the halfway point. Just watch. Just you wait. I said that. Now,
like,
don't go find the recording of it. Don't waste your time. I'll just take my word for it. But
like the great philosopher from Toronto, the Sixth, says, started from the bottom.
Drake.
Now we are here. Started from the bottom. Now my whole team is here. Kraken, I see you. You know, the messed up part is, man, Beniers isn't going to be able to play in the All-Star game because of that cheap shot. Someone get a hit with Myers is his name.
Tyler Myers.
Someone go get a hit on Tyler Myers. I know he's 6'8". Okay. You're gonna have to courage up.
Yep.
To
he's
do
LeBron
it,
out
but
there.
But go
on
get
skates.
Him. We need our young guy in All-Star game, and that's unfortunate.
He's 6'8", but he is 80% neck. Like, I think that, I'm just saying.
If he had a normal neck, he'd be like 6'3".
Oh, 5'2".
He's Jeffrey the Giraffe.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, WNBA star Breanna Stewart reportedly down to two teams in her free agency. That'd be the New York Liberty and the Seattle Storm. What's the real headline?
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Man.
Right, Bump? Right?
I don't think so.
What?
I think she's being courteous and saying, you know what? I've had some great times in Seattle. Champion in Seattle. Mm-hmm. But it's time to move on. But out of respect for the city and the state and the organization, she is saying, look, it's down to y'all too. She's already looking at condos and downtown Manhattan or something right now.
Yeah.
I don't think she's coming back. But thank you for everything you've done.
Do you think it's like when you're breaking up with someone, but you break up slowly? Have you ever broken up with someone in a mean way?
Yeah.
How'd you break up with someone?
I was young. Middle school.
Ah.
Sent my boy to do it.
No!
And I'm standing like 100 yards away just watching.
No!
Yeah, I was that guy.
That happened to me.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All men are trash.
Really, I was dating this boy named Michael when I was in eighth grade.
His name was Michael, too?
His name was Michael. Dang. I kid you not. I kid you not. He was my very first boyfriend.
Was he black?
No.
Okay, give me that.
No, sorry. He was Chinese, but we had something beautiful. And he sent his friend, who was a mutual friend of mine, over, and she brought over a note.
Oh no.
And unfortunately, I was then delivered this note. And
horrible.
Get this, I'm not making this up. He broke up with me because he had a crush on a girl named Casey.
Wow.
Mm.
Casey.
Wow.
Casey. Sorry. And Stacey.
I feel slightly responsible for that. So I'm going to apologize.
It's kind of your fault.
For all the Michaels in the world who broke up in a shady way.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in all of you. Curtis, have you ever broken up with someone in a mean way?
No, not a mean way.
No. So
no.
Can someone on the Mac and Jack's text line tell me if you've ever broken up with someone with, like...
I feel like Curtis, like, takes him out, sits down, be like, look, this is what's going on, you know?
We're heading in two different directions.
In fifth grade, he did that.
Yeah.
Trying to be responsible. Oh, God, I'm dying to see what someone sends in. Please, someone tell me. All right, next up.
Headline rewrites.
I did get dumped at a frozen yogurt shop one time.
Oh, but you were able to get frozen yogurt afterward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
It worked out.
It worked out.
It worked out.
It worked out. I ended up finding the love of my life, and we've got a... One kid already, another on the way. Like, yeah, definitely worked out.
Look, as someone who tries to eat healthy all the time, I have one cheat day. I almost like when bad things happen because then I'm like, well. I mean, hey, it's been
food.
A really tough day. I should probably have this
cookie.
Now
I've got an excuse to just gorge all over the place.
I wish you would have been sobbing, shoving frozen yogurt into your mouth. What do you mean? Hang on 1 second. Let me load up again.
Headline number three, after being stripped of their 2023 first-round pick by the NFL for tampering with Tom Brady, the Dolphins are not expected to pursue Brady if he chooses to return to play in 2023. What's the real headline?
It's like that wise saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you can't get fooled again. That's exactly what
can't
that
get
is.
Again.
Can't get fooled again.
George
Curtis,
w.
do you have that cut still?
I can find
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. I gotta be able to find it.
By the way, Dave Wyman texts me, who's coming on in 10 minutes. He says he has a mean breakup story as well. So hey. we'll have to get that.
A mean breakup? Like Wyman's mean on the football field.
No way.
Field.
Wyman
Off
said
the
he has
field,
one.
Wyman is like.
I wonder
a
if
gentleman.
Wyman was the one that got dumped in a mean way. Here's that cut, by the way.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, "Fool me once, shame on you. Shame on you."
You fooled me, can't get fooled again.
It fooled me, can't get fooled again.
Good old W.
I love that quote. This one, 206. Great girlfriend and I went to different high schools. Broke up with her over email once I saw the girls at my school.
Oh, ooh, man. Ouch.
And you know the thing is, too, depending on what year this is, it was like, you've got mail.
You're all excited. Oh, my God, it's my boyfriend.
Oh, my God, I just got the internet. I just got the CD, AOL 4.0. Let's see what this is like. All of a sudden, you've got mail is like a trigger for her. She hears it. And it's just, oh, God. Let's see here. Oh, my God, I have so many right now. Oh, no. I feel awful about this, but I had my girlfriend's best friend at the time break up with her, saying she could comfort her. Then me and her best friend started dating a week later. You guys are
messy. It always
messy.
Be the ones closest to you.
Grimy.
Oh, my
There's
God.
There's snakes out here.
Wow, that's a snake in the grass move. That would not be my best friend anymore at all.
I hope not.
Oh, my God. I have the winner. I have the winner.
It's the one about the mom.
206. My mom broke up with my high school girlfriend for me. Ugh. I was kind of ghosting her.
What?
She was home for a holiday break because they're in freshman year of college. She was home for a holiday break, and my mom said, "He's just not into you."
Dang. Oh, my goodness.
You had your mom break up with your girlfriend?
You know why? Mom's a ride or die, though, man. Mom's, she probably didn't like her anyway. Don't worry, honey. I got this. I don't like her anyway. I'm going to break up for you.
God, that's so messy. All right. We got Dave Wyman coming up. We're going to ask him what he thought of all these games and maybe some of the lessons that he learned. I know that he's got the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and he and I are going to face off. If the Chiefs win, I win the entire contest. If the Eagles win, he wins because the contest is rigged. So that's coming up.
Salt.
At one, I figure we can get back to our debate. It was the most responded to moment when we talked about whether or not the question of whether you can pay a quarterback a lot of money and win a Super Bowl with him mm-hmm. could be put into question with the Super Bowl. We had a lot of people sounding off about it, so we're going to get back to it at one. At more X's and O's stuff in Four Down Territory. Lots of good stuff coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Here I was, Bump, thinking we were going to speak to our next guest, friend of the show, friend of ours, about football. And while we will do that, we were also recently talking about the meanest ways that people have broken up with other people. I think the winner from the listener round was someone who had his mom break up with his girlfriend for him.
Yeah.
I loved you and Curtis, though, with your stories, which we can get to in a minute, because Dave Wyman, joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, claims that he has a mean breakup story. Wyman, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, she deserved it. She really did.
Wyman, no!
Yeah, it was my girlfriend in high school, Artis. And Artis went to some kind of a conference, some kind of government conference thing, over the summer, and she kind of messed around, you know, and I found out about it. So, but I hung in there for like 6 months, but then, so she was a cheerleader, and you know, she had a bum knee. I'm like, I can't be with somebody else that has bum knees. I mean, I gotta break the cycle. And, anyway, so she called me and told me that, she messed her knee up and that she really hurt it. And I said, "Well, I got some more bad news for you."
Savage.
Yeah, it was pretty mean, but I felt like she earned it.
Yeah, so, I'm with you, Dave. Yeah. I feel that.
How dare she mess around on an 81 state champ?
That's what I'm saying. Does she not
know?
God,
well,
I thought Wooster High School only produced that. Great people.
Yeah, it was before that.
Oh,
so,
God.
Anyway.
All right.
Well, great story, Dave.
That is a great story. And Dave, we were watching the games yesterday together, and our guy Osai is getting a lot of flack from fans about that unnecessary roughness. I think it was probably the right call, but I think they could have didn't have to call it, but I understand why. And then Mahomes selling it with the flop and rolling around and all that good stuff. And then his teammate Pratt is like, you know, yelling at him in the tunnel, like, why are you touching the quarterback? If you were the teammate of Osai in that situation, how do you handle it?
Yeah, I'd just stay away from him. I mean, the guy played his tail off. I mean, he had a good game, and the announcers were talking about him the entire, you know, time. And, yeah, it's just, I don't know how that happens. I mean, you know, you have to have that awareness. They had to call it, right? I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes, you know, and that's the thing about, they go way far to protect the quarterbacks because they know that that's, you know, that's where they make their money. So you had to call that. You had to. But I have no explanation for why that guy did that, man. It was pretty obvious, and it was pretty bad. And I thought, there's just no way they can't call that.
Yeah. I almost wanted it to be Cincinnati winning to take on the Eagles because both quarterbacks were healthy, both teams were healthy, and I just thought that there's a chance Patrick Mahomes goes and you have this lopsided battle. Lo and behold, Patrick Mahomes, while still clearly injured, I thought played a great game. I mean, the Chiefs are just unstoppable. It's unreal what they've been able to do. How do you like this Super Bowl matchup, Dave?
I like it. I think it's great. It also puts me back in the running.
I know.
As far
I hate
as the,
it.
Station. Yeah, I heard
I'm
you
devastated.
Say that it was rigged.
It is rigged. If I lose, though.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you know, the guy that stood out to me was Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've been looking at. You know, like DJ Reader, the big interior guy that the Bengals have. I mean, you know, and he's not a huge name or anything, but, I mean, if you can get guys like that in the draft, you know, especially if you have the number 5 pick, if there's a big war daddy like that, oh, man, those guys are just game wreckers. So, yeah, I thought Chris Jones really stood out. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good matchup. I think the two best teams are probably in there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, San Francisco, they just ran out of quarterbacks, and, you know, they were kind of snake bit from the beginning. I mean, the first game play, Warner goes down, and then it looked like Bosa got, like, spiked or something. His knee was bleeding, and he was kind of limping around. And, yeah, it was, you know, and then the quarterback goes down, and then the backup quarterback goes down. So, yeah, they just ran out of – I still think they're a really good team, but they just kind of ran out of guys. I mean, you can't have that many injuries to key players and still win.
When you look at this quarterback matchup, because obviously these guys are going to be highlighted, you got two different styles, Dave. You got Pat Mahomes, who will throw the ball all across the yard. You have Jalen Hurts, who can throw, but they RPO it a bit much. When you look at this quarterback matchup and the total team matchup, which style do you prefer? Do you prefer the Pat Mahomes, put it on my back, let me lead you type game? Or do you like the way that I feel like Philly's going to approach it, RPO, run the football, play good defense?
It's a great question, Bob.
Dave, you know what you did.
My guy.
I'm padding your numbers.
My guy.
Yeah, I prefer the NFC approach. I would like it. And we were talking about if San Francisco won, you know, would it all of a sudden start this, you know, this new thing about how you don't have to have, you know, a quarterback that's, you know, top 10 or whatever that just lights it up. You can do it with a guy that's more of like a game manager, I guess you would say. And I don't think Hurts is, because he is good. He's accurate. But I would like to see it play out that, you know, that the quarterback's not as important if you have a really good scheme, you have a good run game like the Niners did.
Kyle Shanahan got some flack for, I guess, not being creative. And I didn't really understand the criticism of some of what Kyle Shanahan did in this game, Dave. I'm curious, when you were watching, did you find yourself thinking, oh, I wish they would have done that? Or did you find yourself thinking, I have no idea how they're going to get through this?
Yeah, I thought, well, I mean, I don't know what the deal was with Purdy, but I mean, obviously they tried it out and he couldn't put any zip on the ball. So, but, you know, when they get out there and they run, like, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you're able to load up and just, you know, I thought they should have just carried on with whatever, you know, with the next guy. And I know they tried that, but you get to a point where it's just ridiculous. I mean, that was, what, the fourth quarterback that they've had that played? Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end. So, yeah, I thought his hands were pretty tied. But I thought, well, let's at least see Purdy throw the ball down the field. And they obviously knew better than that. But that was the one thing I was kind of waiting to see.
Dave, how did you feel about the officiating? Now, every game, there's going to be some type of gripe, right? I've never watched a game where we walk away saying, all right, the officials called a perfect game. But it seems like when you get into these situations, the conference championship game, it's amplified. The mistakes are amplified. Just your thoughts about how the games were officiated.
Yeah, the first one, I really don't like that crew chief, Hussey. That's the guy that I think flagged DK in Germany. And, you know, and I feel like you should have to take – you see the look on the guy's face, the side judge, when Shanahan was screaming at him? I mean, that's how you should be. You shouldn't have rabbit ears. You shouldn't, you know, be looking. I thought they were looking to call too many penalties in that first game. The second one I was okay with, but yeah, that Hussey guy, he bothers me. I don't like him. I feel like he feels like everybody's showing up to watch him.
Hey, can I jump back to the Seahawks just a little bit, but with a little bit of context? You and Bump earlier were, and I agree with you guys, talking about Chris Jones and so many of those guys in the trenches and the difference that they were able to make in all of these games. And you're right. And when you look at the two teams that are the number one seeds and the teams that are facing off in the Super Bowl, they were 1-2 in sacks over the course of the regular season. And I know that Seattle will and should add there. I'm wondering, Dave, if you think they have pieces already on this team that can be more impactful if they get more of those guys. So, like, almost like, are there guys already on this team where you think, you know what, if they bulk up, if they get big dudes, if they get guys in the trenches, I fully believe that this Seahawks player already on the team can have a great 2023?
Yeah, I would say on the edges, I don't see anybody in particular that's really talented on the inside. You know, I think Al Woods is really a awesome, like a battler, you know, but he's not a guy that can sort of be a hybrid like Jones. I mean, Chris Jones, and I get it. I get that there aren't, you know, these guys don't just grow on trees.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we were talking to Mark Schlereth about J.J. Watt, and he said J.J. Watt is so good. He's one of the best ever because he can line up across from anyone and whoop them. Put him over the nose, you know, the nose, put him over a guard, put him over the tackle. And that's kind of what Chris Jones did. I mean, that last sack he got was coming off the edge, and he's more of an inside guy. So, yeah, they need guys like that, I would say. You know, and look, like I said, they don't grow on trees, but just a big inside fourth, because that's the closest, you know, path to the quarterback. When you can get pressure up the middle, That just changes everything, and it helps your edge rushers. And I think on the edge, you know, they got Daryl Taylor, they've got Mafe, who I think can be really good. But not other than that, there's not a whole bunch of, you know, elite talent on the D-line.
Well, and hey, worth pointing out, too, that even though they have that fifth overall pick as their highest pick, Chris Jones was 37 overall in the second round. So they can still get a couple impactful guys if they happen to make the right picks. He is Dave Wyman. You can hear him beginning at 2 p.m. Thanks so much, Wyman, for joining us and for telling us your mean breakup story.
Thanks, Wyman.
See you, Wyman. That was Dave Wyman on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, wrapping up with a final breakup story from the 425. I was dating a guy. He lived out of town. He called his brother and told him he was getting married. It wasn't to me.
Ooh-wee.
No.
Ooh-wee.
Moving on, taking a look around the NFL, beginning with the NFL's announcement of their salary cap for 2023. You will know exactly how much the Seahawks have to spend coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Taking a look around the NFL, we are going to start with the league office. Why not? The NFL has set their salary cap for the 2023 season at $224.8 million, an increase of $16.6 million over the 2022 salary cap. Seahawks with the seventh most cap space in the NFL right now, Bump.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm over here being John Schneider. Schneider, if you need some help, I got you, baby. I'm over here doing my research. And I go, look, I just saved the Seahawks another $24.8 million. I'm not going to tell you who I cut because that's personal. And you know what? I like these dudes. They're good people. And I'm not going to do that to them. But I saved you $24.8 million. You know what that does? Allows you to go out and get some more talent. And then there's another scenario where I just saved you $30.2
million. You have $63 million.
You know who that pays? That pays Geno off top, so you can stop worrying about that. You can go out and go get somebody else when it comes to this defensive line or offensive line or secondary or linebacker, whatever you want to do. I just say this to say, look, there's a way to do this. Stop tripping on that big number. I just saved you $30
million. If anyone is interested in the top salary caps for the Seahawks in 2023, I will tell you right now these numbers from over the cap: Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs both with 18.1. Following that, Tyler Lockett 16.7, DK Metcalf 13.7, Uchenna Nwosu 13, Shelby Harris 12.2, Gabe Jackson 11.2, Will Disley 9.1. Then you start getting into like 6, 5, 4, 3, and that's when you're not really too worried about it. But everyone exceeding 10 million: Gabe Jackson, Shelby Harris, Uchenna Nwosu, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, just in case you guys were wondering. Moving on to our next story here. After parting ways with the Cowboys over the weekend, that decision reportedly mutual, former Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore has been hired by the Chargers as their new offensive coordinator. Now, Mike McCarthy will reportedly take over play calling duties. That is a role he's held before, as many of you guys know. That was the bulk of his time with the Packers. He's done it before with a couple other teams he's been with, obviously with a background as a coordinator. So it's not a new role for him per se, but Kellen Moore was seen as like the darling of not only that team, but potentially the next new up and coming wonder kid OC. Bump, you personally felt differently. It was nothing personal against Kellen Moore. You just felt like you weren't overly impressed by what you saw from his work with the Cowboys offense. Interested to see what his work is going to look like with a completely different quarterback, completely different group of players.
Now, really, he had one good year with Dak, and he's getting paid or he's getting opportunities off of that one good year. Similar to Geno Smith. See what one good year can do for you in the NFL, folks? That's just how this thing works, right? You show that you can do something, people are going to invest in that and say, look, I can help build that. I can help nurture that. I can help him grow. Now, he's going over to the Chargers, where he's in a very good situation when it comes to talent, at least. You got Justin Herbert over there at the quarterback spot leading the charge. You got Keenan Allen. You got Mike Williams. Austin Eckler over there at the running back spot. And you have a defense that on paper that should be able to support you. You got Joey Bosa. You got Khalil Mack, you got Derwin James. There are pieces over there.
Yeah.
I think that Saleh has to do a good job of finding the right leadership. Maybe he's found that with Kellen Moore. Maybe him and Herbert vibe, they're on a good level. But I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't the offense I was struggling last year for the Chargers when it came down to winning. It was the defense, but defensive coach is still there.
The Eagles have emerged as early 2-point favorites over the Chiefs in Super Bowl 57. The line was 2.5. It's kind of gone down to 2. I'm guessing it'll be more of a pick'em by the time we actually get to the game, because I can see the strength for either team. In fact, I would be willing to bet that if Patrick Mahomes was fully healthy heading into this one, people would probably be going for Kansas City. But I love the way that these two teams match up. I think that the Eagles' offense is better than people give it credit for. It's seen as this team that kind of like wins as like a more complete team, but I think they've got great weapons, obviously, and a great downfield passing game that they don't get enough credit for. And on the other side, I think the Chiefs' defense is better than people give them credit for. I love how balanced they are, and I am expecting a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do too. And don't get it twisted. Jalen Hurts is capable of throwing for 300 yards. Threw for 333 against Minnesota, mm-hmm. 340 against the Commanders, 380 against Tennessee, 315 Chicago.
Yeah.
But he can get it done.
Yeah.
I think Philly is a type of, it's an opportunistic offense. What are you going to give us right now? Against the 49ers? All right, look, we can run on them. So we're going to run the football. We're not going to force anything with the Chiefs, you look at them and you know what they want to do. They want to give the football to their superstar, to the guy making all the money, and they're going to say, you know what? You win this game for us. And a prime example of that is how many yards they rush for. They rushed for 42 yards against the Bengals. 42 yards. They threw the ball 43 times. They ran it 20 times. They run just to keep you honest.
Yeah.
Now, can this Philly defensive line be the line we've seen all year and put some pressure on Pat Mahomes?
Well, speaking of Philly, they hosted the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Conference Championship game, and as we know, they advanced, completely throttling the 49ers, who were down to their fifth quarterback, a.k.a. Christian McCaffrey. Joey Bosa was there to support his brother Nick. He was spotted outside wearing a 49ers kind of like Letterman's jacket heading into the game with a couple friends and family members. And during this exchange, he was heckled by a number of Eagles fans who were filming the exchange. And you guys can see the video online. There are some people that are like, these fans are so classless for this. And they are. Like, they're probably drunk or like getting fired up. They're Philly fans. They're like insane people. But it's like low-key funny. They're yelling, Bosa! And you can just see Nick Bosa get real mad. Like you mentioned it, and I'll let you roll with it, but you were like, he's making the biggest mistake you can possibly make.
You don't engage with those people. You're in a different tax bracket. Your life is different. You cannot relate at all with them. Only thing you have in common is that you might drink the same type of beer, and he's probably not drinking the same scotch as you.
No, if you look, he had a Bud Light seltzer in his hand.
Hey, don't engage with these folks. They won. They won that interaction, Joey. And then I think it was his girl, or maybe it was a relative, was trying to like pull him away. Yeah. Like, no, Joey, don't do it. But Joey, being the competitor he is, he wants to win in everything.
Always compete. Always compete. It's just like his interactions were just like, you know, no shade at Joey Bosa. Just kidding. I'm going to shade him. His interactions and comebacks to this guy were so weak that I was like, this guy doesn't
seem... I mean,
I wasn't impressed with some of the comebacks. He shouldn't have said anything at all. But he needs to recognize that, like, for the Eagles fan that's yelling this, the fact that he's even responding is awesome.
Yeah.
This is exactly what he wants.
It's Joey Bosa's losing. It's all over his reels.
Exactly. And it's just such a funny way to troll someone by yelling Bosa. I don't know what it is about it that does it to me. But here I am defending Eagles fans again. I'll walk away from this. all right. We are getting to four down territory coming up in about 20 minutes. Before we do that, though, back to our conversation about how the way we talk about quarterbacks could change after this year's Super Bowl. We'll tell you why next.